name's Adarsha Kelly, and I come from Glasgow, in Scotland. I've been on Sri Chinmoy's path since 1972. And as a child, I used to sing with my family. It was the kind of family that did a lot of singing. But when I became a teenager, I stopped because it was too embarrassing to sing with my family. I didn't want to do it. And when I came to New York in April of 1974, Guru asked Tanima to take all the new people who'd come from Europe and from other places. Maybe at that time, maybe 20 new disciples would come and visit during celebrations in April. And she taught us He Parita. And afterwards, she reported back to Guru to say who could sing, who couldn't sing, and who was promising. And she said, the boy from Scotland is quite promising. He has some voice somewhere. And that was the start. I don't think Tanima told me, but I heard from somebody else that this is what had happened. And that gave me some encouragement. But I'm not very musical. I don't play musical instrument. At that time, couldn't read music at all. So everything had to be learned by ear. And I used to find that very frustrating. It took me a long time to learn songs. And I suppose because of that, when I did learn a song, I tended to become kind of obsessed with it. And it became very important to me to sing it with the full voice, with as much emotion as possible, because this was one of the few things that I could do, one of the few songs that I knew. So that's how it started. And gradually, I built up a small repertoire of songs, and then the Edinburgh Glasgow disciples at that time formed a singing group, and we did a little bit more and learned a little bit more quickly from them, but always from tapes and always quite slowly and always with a lot of effort. But that's how it started.
Please. God's beauty in His oneness home. Please, God's beauty in His oneness home.
Guru liked to hear the songs. Every celebrations we'd come and we'd have, Scotland would sing so many songs. And on the other side, Guru also at that time encouraged us to sing national songs. So singing was a big part. On both sides, on the kind of mundane side of singing these national songs, which Guru liked, and also learning his songs. Later, though, certain songs Guru wrote for us, he would write, and they would be distributed to one group to learn, so we would get some songs that nobody else had sung. And one of those songs was Kejabigo, and we sang that at a Christmas trip. And it was the first song that really captured my imagination in Bengali. I remember thinking, I know how to sing this song, I can learn it, but I can put something of myself into it, because it was slightly like the Scottish National Anthem. It was very big, big song. And when we sang it, we had an impact. Guru really liked the way that we sang it, and other people asked us, could we get copies of that song because it's so good? And that was the first time that I started to feel that there is something for me in the music beyond just doing something that Guru likes and pleasing Guru in his own way, that there's something deeper than that that I can latch onto, that I can kind of make my own. And from then I started to take the songs a little bit more seriously. And round about that time, Guru also encouraged me to sing some solo songs or songs with maybe one other person. And largely that was because I was hopeless. I couldn't actually get through a song without forgetting the words or forgetting the tune, or my voice would break or something, but other people would help me get through it. So Guru kind of nurtured me at that stage. And then the big thing in the late 70s was when Haridas appeared and formed Songwaves. And then there was an intensity, because Haridas wanted to learn a big repertoire. So, and that was the first time I'd ever come across harmonies and having to sing harmonies. Again, very difficult for me, very, very hard. And again, I could only do it from tapes. I couldn't read the music, so very frustrating. But it was another step that I had to take.
Thank you.
Gu had an orchestra at one point many years ago. He invited singers and musicians to his house after functions, and he would choose songs, and there was a format, which I can't really remember, but the musicians played the songs and then we sang them. And when it was the boys' turn, I sang solos. And the first song that Guru chose for me was Ori Morkia. So my first memory really of singing Ori Morkia was in Guru's house, maybe 4 or 5 times in one celebrations. We'd go, Premik and the other musicians would play Ori Morkia. There'd maybe be about 10 musicians, a few singers. And then they would play it once, and then I would have to sing it, I had to sing. And once on his birthday, I remember, he asked me to start the program by singing Ori Morkia. So it's a song that I really love, and it has a special association for Guru for me. And it's his classic song. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. But there are other songs somehow that touch me much more than that one. But that's the real classic, it's a real highlight for me. You could feel my consciousness would change. It was like meditation. I started to understand that if I really threw myself into the songs, even quite short songs, I would immediately feel the rise in consciousness. Sometimes I could meditate for 20 minutes and it would be not very good, but I only had to sing one song for 30 seconds and I would feel much better consciousness, much higher. And when learning with Guru, it was almost absorbing the song from listening to Guru and from meditating on Guru rather than any kind of conscious mental process of learning the song. And Guru said to me once that I sing from the soul. Some people can sing from the heart, but I can sing from the soul. And certain songs just now, one that I really like, Katagan. There is one line in Katagan which is very low. I can lose myself in that line. I could sing it endless times because the consciousness goes so deep into it. And it's just beautiful. There are some songs like that that just form an attachment, mm-hmm. and they become your songs or you become their instruments. I'm right. Not quite sure which. And that happens from time to time with songs for me.
Andar gore klaboshe tomai balo bashbo ar karuna derimago.
It seems to me that the songs are emanations from another world. They're descriptions of low and high spiritual states. Now, to use a kind of hackneyed phrase, all human life is there. And often the life that you're leading, good or bad, is captured by Guru in the songs, the consciousness. For me, they, as I've said, they're like almost like ladders that carry you from a low consciousness to high consciousness. You can just run up the ladder when you sing the song. The meaning is not mental meaning. The meaning is something much deeper than that. I feel part of the songs, because they're part of Guru's consciousness. You have to find the line. I mean, first of all, I would say I would be the last person I would come to ask for advice about how to sing. Because everything is just unique and I've learned it by trial and error. But for me, it's finding the line. What is the song trying to say spiritually? And if I can find that line, then I can play on that line. I can go up and down and enjoy myself and immerse myself in it. And for people that, I think that's the criticism of some singers that I hear singing Guru songs, is that they have become fixed to the paper and the notes and the exact rhythm. I can't criticize them for that because I can't do that. But for me, it doesn't work so well in expressing maybe what I feel Guru wanted to express if you have that more arid approach than just to throw yourself into the song and try and find that line. It's not about the note and then the next note and then the next note. It's about what Guru was trying to express in a holistic way.
Thank you.
learning a large number of songs, you can't adopt that approach and hope to learn 200, 300 songs quickly. It'll take you a long time. So in my case, I have to combine, I suppose. First of all, I was very nervous about joining Kailash's group because I didn't think I had the capacity to learn the songs that quickly. And also I was a little bit concerned that I wouldn't really blend with the group, that there would be a problem with the voice. But we worked on that. And actually, if you don't know a song very well, it's very easy to blend because you don't want to stand out. Yeah, it became apparent. I tried various methods. You have to adopt that mental method. Having a tape is really helpful because then you do get the repetition. You never learn that many songs that quickly if you rely on just playing the tape over and over and over again. There has to be another method, and that is, for me, getting the music, playing it on the keyboard, and trying to make associations in the song, which are mental associations. They're like tricks to remind you where the words are and you know, if this note goes up or this note goes down. And there is a superficiality about that, which is not great. But then, hopefully, once I've kind of captured the song in that way, even if it's superficial, if I sing it often enough, the other qualities come through. And sometimes immediately. Sometimes you can have Kailash group songs, maybe two or three Bengali songs. Even the first time you sing them, you know that they've grabbed you, they've captured you. And you're going to learn them, even if you never sing them, you're going to learn those songs because they have an association with you or they have a call on you that you have to respond to. That happens every time, and that's part of the joy. You find these gems that, for me, then I can sing as solo songs, or I can use in other contexts and sing in different ways. And group singing is different, and I have to, particularly me, because if I didn't give it any thought, I could drown out lots of people. I could make lots of mistakes and make other people follow my mistakes. So yes, there is always that balance, and the freedom that you have when you sing on your own, you have to discipline yourself. You can't have that freedom if you sing with a group. Gandharva Loka is another example of having to make sure, although you sing loud and you sing soft, you don't influence in a bad way the sound quality that comes out. You try and work with the conductor and with the arrangement, the song work. I spoke to Kailash, and round about song 1500, he said, why don't you try the next ones and see, and if it works, it works, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And it worked reasonably well. I must be honest and say that I'm never 100% confident on every song. That's the important thing. And also, it's the process is the important thing for me. I mean, initially, it was about the performance. I realised, but the important thing actually is the process. It's learning the songs, it's singing every day, it's having a goal, it's having a focus. It's, instead of just thinking, well, maybe I'll learn some songs, you have the songs, you have to learn them, there is a deadline. The other really nice thing about the group are the rehearsals. The rehearsals are fun, and Kailash makes them very light, and people have to learn. My first few rehearsals, I was surprised because Kailash makes the assumption that you know the songs, and there is no way that you can say to that group, I don't know these three songs, I'm never secure, could we sing them a few times? Because that group won't put up with that. Group wants to move on, the group wants to sing the songs and wants to move on to the next song. So I happily gave myself up to that dynamic, and the first time I suppose I wasn't. I'd hoped to learn more at those rehearsals than I did, and thereafter I realised, no, I have to go into those rehearsals aware of what I know. The rehearsals are simply to blend the voices and to make sure there are no horrible, obvious mistakes that need to be corrected. The Pro Tools, as we call it. Pratul, during the rehearsal, will take notes on the songs, and if he feels there is a problem with pitch or the tape has been wrong and people have learned words wrong, or there's some problem in the music, and he and Prachar in particular don't agree about how the music should be, then we have to sort that out. And it's, I suppose what that does is it polishes the performance and makes sure the rough edges are taken off the performance. But again, it's very much with the idea of, we know the songs, this is us simply doing the final preparation. The second time that I came to the rehearsals, I knew that I had to be better prepared, and hopefully in my own way I'm better prepared than I started. When we go into the rehearsals, you know that you're going to be in a situation where you are among friends, people will laugh and joke with you. If you do have a problem with the songs, I mean, you can afterwards go to Prachar or go to Pratour or go to Kailash and say, well, you know, really there is this particular problem and I need some help. I never feel that that wouldn't be appropriate. The nice thing is that we have a discipline, we meet every morning, we meet in Kailash's house, and it's fun. I look forward to it because there are 20 odd boys there, men really, who all get on well together and have a common goal and work very hard towards that common goal, but without losing the humour that goes in that situation. And we have our jokers, and we have people that take things seriously, and we have our organisers, and it all works. It seems to fall into place very well, and Kailash's leadership is very good, very relaxed and supportive, so it's a very nice atmosphere to work in, to learn.